I'm Mandalit Del Barco. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, an artistic and tasty exploration of Ramadan. Two Muslim bloggers detail the creative ways they found to observe the holy month. But first, the debate over healthcare grows more contentious, and there's now a discussion about whether race was a key factor in how people have responded to President Obama and his plan. This week, former President Jimmy Carter said racism is indeed at play, particularly when it comes to references to Obama as an animal or Adolf Hitler.
Those kind of things are beyond the bounds of the way presidents have ever been accepted, even with people who disagree. And I think people that are guilty of that kind of personal attack against Obama have been influenced to a major degree by a belief that he should not be president because he happens to be African American.
Joining me now to talk about the race factor is Pulitzer Prize-winning, nationally syndicated columnist Leonard Pitts. He joins us from his home outside Washington. Also with us is author and social critic Barbara Ehrenreich. She joins us from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Welcome to both of you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, yeah.
Leonard Pitts, what do you make of the White House's claim that President Obama doesn't agree with the criticism against him?
I find it terribly unsurprising. Barack Obama's in a real catch-22 situation. There is no way that he can acknowledge what is becoming an increasingly apparent reality for most of us. Just as a political matter, the moment that he acknowledges this, he essentially gives his political opponents a cudgel to beat him upside the head with. So there's really no way that he can come out and say that the reason that you're treating me this way is because of race, although I would wager a week's salary that in his heart of hearts, that's exactly, you know, what he feels and knows.
So it's a political move?
I believe politically there's no way that he can do it. The absolute gift to his political opponents would be for them to be able to say he is whining, he can't take the heat, et cetera, et cetera. The things that are typically said when, as an African American, you decry the fact that someone is being racially biased against you. And as president, he has to, and I think he understands that, he has to have a larger agenda. So he can't really satisfy sort of the personal need to say, you know, get up off me or stop treating me this way for the color of my skin. Because the moment he does that, politically, he's in the soup, even more than he is now.
And in a recent column, you wrote that many of the president's detractors do find it hard to accept that the new guy, Obama, is liberal and black.
Yeah, I think that those two things, I think the one sort of gets underplayed, but I think neither quite by itself gets us to where we are. In other words, if the new guy were Colin Powell, who is black but more conservative and a Republican, I think you'd still be seeing some racially tinged episodes here and there, but not to the degree that we've seen with Obama. He is frankly the worst nightmare of a lot of people who are watching.
Barbara Ehrenreich, what role is race playing in this debate, in your opinion?
Well, a few weeks ago, I was set out to research the opposition to health reform, you know, interviewing people, going on the web, going to different groups' websites. And what struck me immediately was this is not about health care. And it didn't take too much imagination to see what really seemed to be at issue was race. And the references to race that would come up again and again in what I was reading and hearing from people really bothered me, like the dingbat theory that health reform is actually a form of disguised reparations for African Americans. The logic there, don't ask me to explain it, but apparently white people would pay all the money to make it happen, and black people would get all the care, and white people would not get any care. Now, it doesn't make any sense, but that's the kind of thing that I encountered. That was actually from the Fox News website. So I sort of backed off thinking of health altogether when I realized that wasn't the issue anymore.
Did both of you find it interesting that a white man, Jimmy Carter, former president, brought up the issue of racism?
I found it gratifying, frankly, because it let me know that I, you know, either that I wasn't crazy or that if I'm crazy, I'm not alone and I have some pretty high profile and prestigious company. I think that this is not anything new. People like me have been saying this for quite a while, but I think that the fact that Jimmy Carter, who again brings the prestige of the presidency to this, I think the fact that he is saying this heightened visibility, lends it in heightened credibility, and makes it a lot more difficult for people to just sort of sweep it under the rug and ignore.
Barbara, how do you feel about that?
Well, I said it in Sunday's New York Times I think this is even before Jimmy Carter, you know, I said that's what's, you have a combination in this country of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression and the first black president ever. You can expect that some of the resentment and anger, the economic anger that people are feeling, white people are feeling, is going to take a racial direction. This is America. That happens. And that is what's happening. I would say on Sunday in the New York Times, Maureen Dowd, the columnist, said, whoa, wait, you know, this is what it's all about. So I think a lot of voices have, and I'm white too, you know, have all been saying, this is no way to discuss health reform. You've left that subject behind.
It is interesting that we haven't heard that much from the black politicians on this so much. And maybe it goes back to what you were saying, Leonard, about how racism is perceived.
My great advantage, you know, as an African-American, you know, making these observations is that I'm not running for anything. So I can afford really not to care. But an African-American politician in that sense is no different from any other politician. He or she has a constituency to please. He or she cannot afford to be perceived in certain ways by that constituency. So there's certain things that they are going to be hamstrung from saying. So in a sense, it falls to, you know, African Americans who are in the punditocracy, or it falls to white Americans who are either pundits or politicians to make this case. It's going to be very difficult for an African American politician to make this case unless he or she has decided, well, it's more important for me to make this case than it is for me to be elected again or to be successful in my office holding.
That being said, Barbara, do you think it's time for the president to have a sequel to his famous speech on race?
Well, I agree with Leonard that it's hard for him. He's in a very difficult position. I am not expecting him to come up with a second speech about race in response to this. I really do think the responsibility falls to other observers right now to say, hey, this is what's going on. And by the way, some of the black Congressional Caucus members have spoken up, you know, about what they've encountered, say, in their own town hall meetings and about the general racist drift of things. So it's not like there's been a complete silence from black elected officials.
Author and social critic Barbara Ehrenreich and Pulitzer Prize-winning nationally syndicated columnist Leonard Pitts, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
My pleasure, too.